there is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now, here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you doing this morning?
Thank you for that introduction, Harley.
Yeah, thank you, Harley. We appreciate it very, very much. Well, it's a Saturday morning. We're happy to have you joining us this morning, Bill and Allison Mancaro program, and we've got a whole lot to talk about today. But first of all, just to let you know, we are Bill and Allison, and we are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And the American way. We're never PC, though. We are proudly... That's your line. PI, politically incorrect. Okay. You weren't even listening. That's the problem.
No, I was doing an engineer duty.
Yeah. Allison's the engineer here. The board looks like, the control board looks like the helm of the Starship Enterprise. So it is very impressive that she does an engineering work. And I just sit here and look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But most of all, we strive to be BC, biblically correct. We are proudly non-Bidenary. And I'm a native Texan, originally from the Panhandle, Dalhart, to be specific.
I'm a Native American.
Allison's a Native American, born in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you are an American Indian, Native American.
Part Indian.
Part Indian, Chickasaw.
Not very much, but...
Yeah, well, they were on the Trail of... the Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm.
They were originally from Tennessee, right?
I believe so.
Can you imagine having your culture based in Tennessee and then being taken to no man's land,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma? Yeah. Wow. Well, we're happy to be here, as I said, and we'd like to begin our program with a verse. This is from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" George Mueller, back in the 1800s, wrote, "God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means. Trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith." Interesting about George Mueller, by the way. Mueller, M-U-L-L-E-R. He started... an orphanage in London, outside of London, in the 1800s, and he never asked for a penny. He never asked for contributions. He depended solely on prayer. And that orphanage grew and grew, and they built more buildings, and they got more money. He only based on prayer, never asking for a penny from anyone. And believe it or not, that orphanage is still in operation today.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
I didn't know there were any orphanages,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think...
In England, there are.
Okay. Yeah. In the United States, we got rid of orphanages and have this foster system. And
right.
Bill and I have personally seen effects of kids being in foster care, and it's not good.
No, it is not good.
I mean, it took them years.
In many cases. In some cases, it's great. Depends on the parents.
Well, exactly.
Depends on the parents. No, it's... it can be a bad situation. We also got rid of the idea of putting mentally ill people into institutions we don't care of. And they were off the streets, not harassing and doing other things, terrible things to people. But we got rid of that whole plan, and look at the result of that. Well, today, among other things, is National VJ Day, which is Victory Over Japan Day. It recognizes Allied forces' victories over Japan during World War II. Officials announced the surrender of Japan to the Allies on August 15, 1945. And the official signing of surrender took place on September 2nd, today, 1945, officially ending World War II. Between 50 to 80 million lives were lost during World War II. 50 to 80 million lives on all sides. And that includes both military and civilian. World War II was fought on every continent except Antarctica, and the war consumed entire cities. More than 50 countries took up arms during World War II. So today is National Victory Over Japan Day, VJ Day. So remember that. Let's never forget things like that. Well, it's the beginning of the month, and we always like to look at the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Move it.
And we always like to look at the Old Farmer's Almanac, and that's at the beginning of the month. For the month of September, now the Old Farmer's Almanac, I should preface by saying, has been predicting the weather since I don't know how long, and they do it over a year in advance. And they've been publishing since 1792, and they have an 80% accuracy rate. Now, that's pretty darn good, 80% accuracy rate since, for that, I don't know, since 1792, but many, many, many years. And what they say for us, now, for us meaning... Basically, they take Texas and Oklahoma and lump them together, except for the, excuse me, ran out of words there. Getting over a little cold. Texas and Oklahoma, but except for the Panhandle and far west Texas. Anyway, they say that our temperatures in September will be 2 degrees above average. Well, we don't want to hear that. This past August, we had 25 days of over 100 degrees here in Kerrville and Hill Country. The precipitation, though, will be 2 inches above normal for the month of September. So that's what the Old Farmer's Almanac, you can believe it or don't believe it, but you're betting against an 80% probability there if you do that. So, how about that, Allison?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, abortion is in the news again. There was recently a group, Pro Dio Libertate, I think is the name of the group. I never heard of them, but they're a pro-life group. And they did a, you know how these, what's it, Project Veritas does these undercover videos. And they've done a number of them where... officials with one Pfizer saying that we make billions off the vaccines, and the FDA is in bed with us, and anything we want they approve, and that's how we make our money, and then FDA regulators come to work with us for big salaries. So he blew the whistle there on all that. This pro-life group did an undercover interview with a man named Cesar Santangelo. And Cesar Santangelo is a medical doctor in Washington, D.C. And you're going to hear part of what he had to say. And you have to listen a little carefully at the beginning because it's a little obscure. But what he's doing, a woman came in to him from this pro-life group, and she had a hidden video camera and microphone. And she asked him a bunch of questions, and he thought she was a woman coming in to, wanting to have an abortion. So he was very open about what they do. He talked about how he made sure that babies born alive during a failed abortion will die. Even that is a violation of federal law, which guarantees medical care to all children born alive. and how he talks about no child born alive at its abortion clinic had survived. I'm telling you about this, so in case it's a little obscure, you'll know what he's saying. This is Dr. again, Cesar Santangelo. I hesitate to call him doctor.
Usually at this point, and your pregnancy is too early to survive usually.
Okay.
It will expire shortly after birth. It's all in how vigorously you do things to help a fetus survive at this point. Right? You would not help it. You would not help it. You would not help it.
Under the Federal Born Alive Infants Protection Act, any child born in the United States, including a survivor of a failed abortion attempt, is guaranteed the full rights and legal protections of citizenship and entitled to life-saving medical care. You are about to witness a conversation that was taped by an undercover live-action investigator at a prominent late-term abortion clinic in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The investigator, who was 24 weeks pregnant, met with clinic abortionist Dr. Cesare Santangelo and asked him what he would do if her child survived the late-term abortion procedure. Will the abortionist fulfill his legal responsibility to sustain the life of the baby if it survives the late-term abortion?
I cut the umbilical cord first, wait for the baby to expire.
Does it ever, move or anything when it comes out?
That's why I try and sever the umbilical cord first, and we wait for that to stop pulsing, and that's why the fetus is expired first, so it does.
Okay, so has it ever survived?
After, when
it comes out?
Not here, no.
Okay.
No, it could, and some people will go into labor before we do the procedure.
Okay.
And that can happen.
Okay.
It's unusual.
And then what do you...
Usually at this point, and your pregnancy is too early to survive usually.
Okay.
It will expire shortly after birth.
But if it did, what would happen? Would I have to take it home or be responsible for?
I mean, technically, legally we would be obligated to help it, to survive. It's all in how vigorously you do things to help a fetus survive at this point. If you do everything possible to help it survive, there's maybe a 20 to 30% chance that it would survive. If you don't do anything, then, the chances are much, much less. Let's say you went into labor, the membranes ruptured, and you delivered before we got to the termination part of the procedure here. We would not help it.
Sure.
Yeah, we wouldn't do any extra. We'd be a terminal person in the hospital, let's say, that had cancer. You wouldn't do any extra procedures to help that person survive.
Okay.
They had, do not resuscitate orders.
Okay.
We would do the same things here.
Okay.
Whereas if you were in a hospital in Virginia, let's say, and you went into labor and you went to the hospital and then they saw you deliver, they would do everything possible to help that fetus survive.
Okay, but you won't.
We wouldn't.
Okay.
And that's happened before, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah, where, we've had patients that, on the second day of the labinaria, they got some contractions and they panicked and they were in Virginia at the hospital, and they went to the hospital because they had some pain instead of calling me, and they just went to the hospital, and the hospital helped them to deliver, which was the stupidest thing they could have done.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they did everything they shouldn't have done, which was help them to deliver.
Catherine Salgado is a columnist for the Rogue Review, a freelance contributor for PJ Media, and a writer for MRC and American Revival Press. She received the Andrew Breitbart MVP Award from the Rogue Review for her journalism. Well, thank you, Catherine. We appreciate you joining us on our program today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ran across an article that you published on your Substack, and I thought our listeners would be very interested in it. Apparently, there were some pro-life activists who, according to the headline here, and I, of course, have read the article, but the headline says, "Activist sentenced found guilty for trying to save babies from abortion." Could you expand on that, please?
Yes, definitely. So basically, these five pro-life advocates were on trial And there are other pro-life advocates on trial because of the Biden Justice Department right now, but this particular case involves five. And they were accused by the Biden Justice Department about 2 years after their 2020 protest against abortion at this particular clinic, where they had reason to believe that post-birth abortions were happening. They held a protest there, and some of them were praying, some of them were handing out pro-life literature to women who were going into the clinic, and some of them chained themselves together or tied themselves together inside the facility, according to the Thomas More Society, which is representing one of the defendants. And so basically the Biden Justice Department was accusing them of a violation of the FACE Act, or the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, and conspiracy to violate rights or against rights. And so basically they're claiming that the pro-life activists were actively preventing women from accessing their abortion, and that women had a right to access abortion. So this is not true, by the way, according to the attorney from the Thomas More Society. They said that they were not, the access to the abortion in the clinic was never like blocked or prevented at any time. So it would seem that FACE wouldn't even apply. And they were just found guilty, however, regardless of that, of violating this law. And what's particularly concerning about this, aside from the fact that it's rather spurious as to whether they actually did violate the FACE Act, is that we could see very much a double standard being applied here. So, for instance, the FACE Act, by the way, also protects places of religious worship. So you can also be prosecuted under the FACE Act for blocking access to or actively attacking and damaging a church or a synagogue, etc. But when pro-abortion activists, after the overturn of Roe versus Wade, attacked many churches across America in a violent way, or held very disruptive and aggressive protests at the churches, I was not able to find confirmation of a single arrest from the Biden Justice Department. So basically, all of the violent pro-abortion protesters got off scot-free. Totally different when it comes to the pro-life advocates who were not being violent, who did not prevent any women from being able to get abortions. So it's very disturbing, because it seems as if, rather than simply following the law and enforcing the law, the Biden administration is actively trying to target pro-lifers while ignoring, you know, law-breaking behavior from pro-abortion activists.
Well, as you probably know, Attorney General Merrick Garland was questioned about this fairly recently, particularly on the lack of arrests, as you mentioned, for desecrating and bombing, et cetera, churches, and also pregnancy resource centers, pro-life centers. And his response was, well, I won't characterize it, I'm tempted to, but his response was, well, those things mostly happened at night, and that's why we couldn't investigate them. Apparently the FBI doesn't work at night, is that your understanding?
It seemed to be a very pathetic attempt to claim that basically they didn't know who did it and therefore they couldn't find it out, which, yes, I agree, is highly spurious, especially considering the fact that, for instance, they were using geo-tracking technology to track down January 6th protesters, but they weren't able to use any of that geo-tracking technology or asking for tips or social media, you know, profiling, etc., to find any of the, you know, violent protesters who were bombing churches and clinics and burning them. That seems very strange to me.
Yes. Well, it's anybody with half a brain would realize that Barrick's Garland's, you know, excuse that they can't investigate crimes that happen at night is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, what, by the way, we're talking with Catherine Salgado, a columnist for the Rogue Review and a contributor for PJ Media, and she is on this topic of injustice in abortion cases. Let's go back to this case that you started talking about. They've been, these five defendants have been judged guilty. What's going to happen to them now, or what is happening to them now?
Well, it seems a little unclear as of right now, based on what I was able to find on various different from various different sources. It seems as if they're facing up to 11 years in jail. It is not clear whether all of them will be serving 11 years in jail, or whether the sentence will be somewhat lower than that. Well, but they are facing jail time.
Surely they would appeal this, would they not?
Yes, and I'm sure they're appealing it.
Okay, good. All right, Catherine Salgado, that's very interesting news, and I'm glad you're keeping on top of it, and I hope you'll let us know what happens in this case and others that you uncover.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Well, as we take a short break on the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show, you're listening to George Bennett, Texas on My Mind, an original composition. Just talked to George yesterday, actually. When we come back, I say it's going to be a quick break. When we come back, the question for you. Which is the only planet in our solar system that is not named after a god or goddess? There's only one. When we come back, you'll know what it is.
Was I searching for that peace of mind when I found I had Texas on my mind? Another day, another dollar, another footprint on my soul. If I find another, I will surely be at home. Was I really leaving, or was I searching for that peace of mind when I found I had Texas on my mind.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison.
We certainly are.
Thanks for joining us. If you miss any of our shows, you can go to First Couple of Texas Radio, where we play repeats.
First Couple of TexasRadio.com. That's right. You can hear all of our past shows there, download them to your favorite device. Well, before the break, I asked if you knew which is the only planet in our solar system that is not named after a god or goddess.
And I guessed.
Allison guessed the right one.
It's Earth.
It's Earth. Exactly right. It's Earth. All of them. All the rest are named after pagan gods or goddesses. How about that?
I'd never thought about that.
I hadn't either till I did.
You know, France is about to spend about $216 million destroying nearly 80 million gallons of surplus wine. So that's enough wine, enough liquid, to fill more than 100 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
You're breaking my heart.
The problem is that higher production costs and shrinking demand for wine have made it impossible for French wineries to sell their spiked grape juice for a profit, even if it does have tantalizing hints of oak and leather.
Well, so there's a diminishing demand for wine? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the average French citizen drinks about 40 liters of wine per year, compared to 136 liters in 1926.
Wonder why?
I have no idea.
Don't know what's changed.
I know.
Interesting. Well, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think most people by now know that name. He's running for president of the United States. And a very impressive guy. He went into the lion's den. Andrea Mitchell at MSNBC, or as some call it, MSDNC. Allison and I thought this segment of the interview was quite interesting, and he basically shut down Andrea Mitchell, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do.
You've called climate change and that agenda a hoax. You said more people are dying from bad climate change policies than there are of actual climate change. But according to a UN agency, extreme weather events compounded by climate change caused the death of 2 million people between 1970 and 2021. Can you offer a shred of evidence that more than 2 million people died from converting to clean energy?
I can offer clear evidence that the number of climate disaster-related deaths is down by 98% over the last century. The number of people who died of hurricanes, tornadoes, heat waves, and other weather-related events in 1920, for every 100 that died then, two die today. And the reason why is more plentiful, abundant access to fossil fuels and technology powered by fossil fuels. I can also tell you today, it is a hard fact. None of these things are disputed. Eight times as many people die of cold temperatures than die of warm ones. The right answer to all temperature-related deaths is more plentiful, abundant access to fossil fuels. The Earth is covered by more green surface area today than it was half a century or a century ago because carbon dioxide is plant food. And carbon dioxide as a percentage of the atmosphere is still at a relative low through human history. Those are hard facts. And I think we have to acknowledge those facts when having this debate.
Well, there's a hard fact of the hurricane that is now approaching. The mayor, a three-generation St. Petersburg resident, says he's never seen anything like this, the ocean warming. But let me move on to some
Andrea, may I respectfully offer a response to that? And I mean this with due respect. If someone on the other side were an uneducated person from Arkansas who didn't go to college and offered one weather event as an N of one anecdote to help support a theory of global climate change, you'd laugh off the stage as a rube for saying they don't follow data. The same shoe has to fit the other foot. Follow the actual data.
I'm not talking about one person's opinion. We talked to professors, academics.
You literally just quoted one person's opinion. With due respect, that's exactly what you just quoted. And I think that that's what's driving this kind of false narrative as opposed to the facts that I'm citing.
Well. All right, that was Vivek Ramaswamy running for president on the Republican side. And a pretty impressive guy so far.
Yeah, he is.
Pretty impressive guy.
Two prominent climate scientists have taken on new rules from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, on cutting carbon dioxide, CO2 emissions in electricity generation, arguing in testimony that the regulations will be disastrous for the country for no scientifically justifiable reason. They cite extensive data to support their case. A retired professor of physics at Princeton University and a retired professor of atmospheric science at MIT. And they argued that the claims used by the EPA to justify the new regulations aren't based on scientific facts, but rather political opinions and speculative models that have consistently proven to be wrong. The unscientific method of analysis, relying on consensus, peer review, government opinion, models that do not work, cherry-picking data, and omitting voluminous contradictory data, is commonly employed in these studies and by the EPA in its proposed rule, these professors wrote. None of the studies provides scientific evidence, thus none provides any scientific support for this proposed rule. All of the models that predict catastrophic global warming fail the key test of the scientific method. They grossly overpredict the warming versus actual data. The scientific method proves that there is no risk that fossil fuels and carbon dioxide will cause catastrophic warming and extreme weather. These two professors said that the climate models, such as the ones that the EPA is using, have been consistently wrong for decades in predicting actual outcomes. He said that was an embarrassment in the 90s when I was director of energy research in the U.S. Department of Energy. I was funding a lot of this work, and I knew very well then that the models were overpredicting the warming by a huge amount.
Well, there certainly is a lot of truth in that, and I find it interesting that the COVID agenda and the climate change agenda are very similar in that way that they rely on a core fallacy, which you have just very eloquently enumerated, Allison. And the fallacy is that these events are actually dictated by human behavior, COVID and climate change. and thus human behavior has to be controlled in the name of the greater good. And basically, they look at humanity as a beehive or an insect colony. So everybody has to have their lives micromanaged by the state to prevent some kind of chain reaction that leads to catastrophe for the whole colony. That was the claim during the COVID pandemic. It's also the claim for climate change and carbon restrictions. They've fabricated another excuse for eliminating personal freedoms. For COVID, it was the air we breathe out that would supposedly destroy public health. For climate change, it's the air we breathe out that's going to destroy the world. Climate researchers, as you pointed out, somebody asked the founder of the Weather Channel, it was on CNN, and we have a clip of that somewhere, but we played it before, but he was asked, 96% of climate scientists disagree with you and say that it's largely caused by human action, climate change caused by human action. And this guy says, from the founder of Weather Channel, said, that's because they agree with whoever pays them. You can't get grants. You cannot get government funding. You can't get grants unless you agree with the rhetoric that man-made, man-caused climate change, or largely causes climate change. Climate researchers operate on the assumption that emissions cause warming. That's an assumption that CO2 causes warming, when in fact they have zero evidence to support that. Correlation, as any elementary school student is taught, I hope, these days, correlation is not causation. Just because something fits together, an old saw that I learned in school was, when it's raining, the sidewalk is wet. The sidewalk is wet, therefore it's raining. Obviously a logical fallacy, but that is correlation is not causation. Almost all climate crisis claims are based on records of a little over 100 years ago. There have been numerous warming periods much hotter than today. The 1930s, even. You don't have to go back that far. The 1930s in the United States were warmer than they have been since. So this climate boogeyman is nothing more than another COVID-like fraud, which is basically a vehicle for grabbing power, erasing our freedoms. There is no threat. Even if there was, there's nothing that people could do about it, since we cannot change the temperature of the Earth. The world's climate's been changing for millions of years. There's no difference between the changes of today versus the changes of the past. But the globalists know that to achieve their new world order or great reset or whatever you want to call it, a large percentage of the population has to be on board. So their enslavement has to be presented as a good thing. We must be made to believe that by embracing slavery, we are saving the planet. We're saving people's lives. None of that's true. But as long as the population thinks they're doing good, they can be manipulated into supporting immense evil. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works. Just staying on this climate subject for a minute.
I have something to add on that.
Oh, go ahead, please.
The CEO of Ford admitted that he underwent a reality check when he tried to make a cross-country road trip in the Ford Electric F-150. Challenging has been pretty challenging, he said, in a video that played on X, formerly known as Twitter. It was a really good reality check of the challenges of what our customers go through and the importance of fast charging and what we're going to have to do to improve the charging experience. In California, he said he encountered slow charging times. When using a low-speed charger, it took about 40 minutes for it to charge the electric F-150's battery to 40%.
Wow. Yeah, this electric vehicle stuff is not working out like they planned, is it? Well, over 1,600 scientists just in the last few weeks have jointly signed a declaration saying there is no climate crisis and saying that carbon dioxide is beneficial to Earth. Didn't you learn that in school, Allison? That plants have to have carbon dioxide to survive.
All right.
They breathe in carbon dioxide, they breathe out oxygen. Mm-hmm. So if we get rid of carbon dioxide or cut it way back, there's going to be a disaster, global disaster, because plants can't survive. The Global Climate Intelligence Group, the 1,600 climate scientists, said there is no climate emergency. They said that there are only, also there's 321 of those from the United States. It said that Earth's climate has varied as long as it has existed, with the planet experiencing several cold and warm phases. The Little Ice Age only ended as recently as 1850. And it says, therefore, there's no, quote, there's no surprise we are now experiencing a period of warming. Quote, climate models have many shortcomings, are not remotely plausible as policy tools. They exaggerate the effect of greenhouse gases. They ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial. Extra CO2 is just what I said. This report said extra CO2 results in the growth of global plant biomass while also boosting the yields of crops worldwide. Of course, the globalists want to get rid of crops. They want you to eat bugs and lab-grown meat and things like that. So that's part of what this Global Climate Intelligence Group has been talking about. And I'll tell you a little bit more once we come back from our break.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison.
We are Bill and Allison Mancaro here on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station for the entire Texas Hill Country and beyond, thanks to firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what a bully pulpit is?
It's a phrase that's used to usually indicate the presidency, but I guess it can be indicate, I think, Teddy Roosevelt was one of the first to use it as a phrase.
It was coined by Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, and it means...
He referred to his office as the bully pulpit.
Yeah, it means they have the... he has the whoever the president is has access to...
Has a platform to advocate an agenda.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Is that the phrase of the day?
Sure.
Okay. Let me finish up on this, as I promised, this climate change, because it's a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of falsehoods and spread by people like Al Gore and John Kerry, who have made multi-millions off this climate scam. If they really believed what they said, for example, John Kerry would not have built a multi-million-dollar house on the ocean in Martha's Vineyard, right near Barack Obama's multi-million-dollar house on the ocean in Martha's Vineyard, if they really believe that the ocean's levels are going to rise and the coasts are going to be flooded and destroyed. But that proves they don't believe what they're saying. They just want more power and more money. It's all about the money. Follow the money in any situation. Follow, you wonder why it's happening? Follow the money. Well, this group that I mentioned, 1,600 scientists from all over the world, called the Global Climate Intelligence Group, in their report called its World Climate Declaration, they dismissed the whole idea of global warming being linked to increased natural disasters like hurricanes and floods and droughts, saying there's no statistical evidence to support these claims. Of course, I just saw a clip of John Kerry. I get those two mixed up because, they're basically, interchangeable, humorless, wooden. But anyway, it was John Kerry saying, well, there's no more debate. The debate is closed. Well, you never do that in science. You can't close off debate. That's totally unscientific. You never stop debate. You never stop researching and trying to prove theses and trying to disprove theses and things like that. So this group, this 1,600 scientists, says there's no climate emergency. There's no cause for panic and alarm. We strongly oppose the harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policy. To believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. Remember the old phrase, Allison, about computers, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage out. So they say to believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. And they say, this is a quote from their this 1600 scientists report, this is precisely the problem of today's climate discussion to which climate models are central. Climate science has degenerated into a discussion based on beliefs, not on sound, self-critical science. Should we not free ourselves from naive belief in immature climate models? And this, some of the signatories to this statement are Nobel laureates and scientists from all over the world. One Nobel laureate, his name is John Francis Clauser. He said, the popular narrative about climate change reflects a dangerous corruption of science that threatens the world's economy and the well-being of billions of people. He said, climate science today is pseudoscience. He says, in my opinion, there is no climate crisis. You might remember back in the 1970s, or maybe you've read about this, some climate scientists predicted that the Earth would move into a new ice age. Mm-hmm. By the 21st century. In May of 1982, Mustafa Tolba, who is executive director of the United Nations Environmental Program, said if the world did not change course, it would face, quote, an environmental catastrophe which will witness devastation as complete, as irreversible as any nuclear holocaust by the year 2000. How's that working for you? In June 2008, James Hansen, director of NASA's Goddard Institute of Space Sciences, said that within 5 to 10 years, that'd be 2013 to 2018, the Arctic would have no ice left in the summer. That hasn't happened. Climate change policies have been used to justify sweeping lifestyle changes across the United States by the Energy Department. You've probably heard about restricting home appliances now, banning them. Have you heard about the latest one, ceiling fans? They want to make ceiling fans more energy efficient, which is going to, manufacturers say that's going to raise the prices. They have to, because they're going to have to install all this other equipment. They're saying it costs them about $90 million a year in increased equipment costs. Department of Energy wants gas stoves to be refitted and all this kind of stuff. That's going to affect half of all new models of gas stoves in the U.S., boosting the prices tremendously while making most of the existing ones non-compliant. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, in July of this year, they wanted to get rid of all existing portable gas generators. They want to get rid of them. We can't have any. Of course, the Biden administration has already implemented a ban on incandescent light bulbs. You bought any light bulbs lately? You know how much they are? Yeah, where you could buy four for a buck a few years ago? Doesn't happen anymore, does it? Anyway, that's our little deal on climate change and some things you may not have known, thanks to the Bill and Allison Show. We hope. We'd like to keep you informed. Well, when we're running up on the news, are we not, Allison?
Yes, we are.
On the Bill and Allison Show on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We're happy to have you with us. When we come back, we're going to have lots of stuff to talk about. We got piles of things to talk about. And one of them is extremely important, as all of them are, of course. We're going to talk about events in the Hill Country, things you and your family will enjoy going to this weekend, this Labor Day weekend. We got a bunch of events going on, and we'll be talking about those and giving information as to where, who, what, when, where, and why, and contact information when we come back from our news break. So stay tuned to the Bill and Allison Show on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
That's us. Welcome back.
What you got, Allison?
Well, I'm just asking, how many countries tax their citizens so they can send money to the U.S.?
I would guess zero.
Okay. Well, you and I were just talking about this in the past day or two, about the amount of money that the U.S. government is sending to Maui for their cleanup
mm-hmm.
versus how much money we're giving Ukraine. Do you remember those numbers?
I do have it right in front of me, believe it or not. President Biden announced this past Wednesday, I want to be accurate, that he would send $95 million to Maui. Of course, Maui had the deadliest fire in the nation's history in over a century. It's claimed possibly 1,000 lives. We're not sure yet. So he's sending $95 million. Okay. Well, the cost of Maui's cleanup, they estimate at $5.2 billion with a B. He's sending $95 million. That's less than one-tenth of 1% of the $135 billion that Biden is sending to Ukraine. We are sending one-tenth of 1% of the amount that we're sending to Ukraine, $135 billion, to Maui. So that's the difference. That's the difference.
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
You're stupid. Really, really stupid. You're stupid.
I think it's more than stupidity.
Senility.
If you really wanted to damage this country, what more would you do than what the Biden administration is doing to this country? What more? Think about it. What mm-hmm. more would you do?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't have to enumerate them all. You know, open borders and, you know, prosecuting law-abiding citizens and indicting your top political opponent, just like banana republics do. In fact, there was one African country, and I just can't come to mind at the moment. The president of this African country was criticizing the United States and criticizing Biden for indicting Trump, his Justice Department for indicting Trump. He said, we wouldn't do that in our African country. So now we have third world countries lecturing us mm-hmm. about democracy.
Mm-hmm.
A little reminder, because of the drought, do not mow. Do not barbecue.
I know. I asked Bill to barbecue the other day, and he said, we can't barbecue.
No, one little ember going the wrong way, and you got a conflagration. Both Alice and I ran at a gas station, ran into a fire emergency vehicle, and with California plates. So we started talking to the guy, and he was from California, and he's out here just in case. They're staying in a motel. He said, there are a bunch of us. Just in case there's a fire, we're going to help out, which is great. And he said most fires that he's fought, both California and various places around the nation, most of these fires have been in drought conditions like we're having, have been caused by somebody mowing. They hit a rock, sparks, sets up a wildfire. So please do not mow. You don't need to mow anyway. It's not, the stuff isn't growing.
Right.
So. Well, as I said, there's a lot of events going on Labor Day, and those are the ones you need to know about because you listen to the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station. And this weekend is Labor Day weekend. Of course, Monday is the official Labor Day holiday. Mm-hmm. And the true meaning of Labor Day, a lot of people don't know this, Labor Day, and I know Allison has a lot, she hasn't told me what it is, and I haven't told her what I have for Labor Day. The true meaning of Labor Day is to commemorate throughout the year those women who have been in labor. It's to remember women who have suffered in labor, in pregnancy, and to commend them. And in fact, I looked, Allison, did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that? And I looked for a song. You know, there's a lot of holidays that have songs. You know, we have a lot of mm-hmm. Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, songs for this and songs for that. I couldn't find a song for Labor Day.
Huh.
So I wrote one. You
All
ready?
Right. All right. Yes.
Now, we don't have any music, so it'll be a cappella. See what you think of this, Ellen. Oh, beautiful women in labor, we honor you for your pain. For without you, there would be no people thanks to your fruited plane.
Okay, Bill.
What?
You know, thank you for sharing.
You don't want me to go on?
No.
Well, I'll keep working on that. No, that's just a goof. You actually have true stuff about Labor Day, don't you, Allison?
I do. Labor Day, as Bill said, is this Monday, which is the first Monday in September. And the Labor Day holiday grew out of the late 19th century organized labor movement, and it quickly became a national holiday as the labor movement assumed a prominent role in American society. They purposely did not choose May 1st, which is May Day, which Bill might not know this. May 1st, May Day, is a holiday to recognize labor union people, but it's a communist holiday. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. The idea first became public in 1882. The unions of New York City decided to have a parade to celebrate their members being in unions and to show support for all unions. There was also a lot of beer involved in the event. The New York parade inspired other unions, so other regions started having parades. The holiday has evolved over the years. At first, the celebrations were parades in urban areas. Now, the holiday is a celebration that honors organized labor with fewer parades and more activities. It also marks the perceived end of summer. Labor Day is the unofficial end of hot dog season.
No.
The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council says that between Memorial Day and Labor Day, Americans will eat 7 billion hot dogs.
Good gravy.
So how many people are members of unions today? About 14.8 million in 2017, down from 17.7 million in 1983.
Hmm.
So what's the biggest union today?
I would guess it's the NEA.
Yep, the National Education Association. Okay. Has about 3 million members.
Hmm. And don't you, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, because you were doing that talking thing. Do you mention about wearing white?
Oh, I did, but...
Oh, you did?
Okay. No, I mean, it's in that article that I had, but I didn't read
that. That's not really followed anymore, is it?
No.
Okay. Well, what I'm referring to is it used to be that Labor Day was the end of the season where you wore white. You never wore white in your clothing after Labor Day.
Well, okay, where that comes from.
You're off mic.
Okay. That comes from the late Victorian era.
Well, what I remember about it is
it isn't really followed anymore.
Rich people, you know, took their summer vacation and they wore white for summer, but this is officially marking the end of summer, as I understand it. Well, we are Bill and Allison. We're happy to be on the Hill Country Patriot, which is your information station, of course, for the entire Hill Country. That's our woke alert. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. It is our woke alert. We find, Allison and I find, the most ridiculous wokeness that we can find for each show. And
share it with you.
It's tough to pick them because there's so many candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But today, our woke alert, it's you know, it just seems to be an endless flow of absurdity because of the radical imbeciles teaching our children. If they do somehow make, if the kids make it to college without being totally groomed, they're lunatics like the one we are about to introduce you to. By the way, Elon Musk is very, very upset. He sent his child, which, you know, you wonder, what are you thinking? He sent his child to some elite school in, I don't know where it was. But some, you know, elite private school that costs a gazillion dollars a year. And the kid was totally groomed. His son now claims to be a woman or a girl. I think the kid's like 16 or 17. and says they are a radical communist and all rich people are evil, and he will have nothing to do with his father. And Elon Musk is like shocked that this happened. Well, duh, you know. But anyway, that's what happens. You send your kids to these rich, you know, ritzy schools or even, you know, normal, what you think of as normal colleges, and they come back as raving communists and deciding that, you know, that they're a, you know, a piano or something instead of a girl or boy. Well, anyway, this crazy woman that we are about to introduce you to is Diane Ehrensoft. She's a PhD, developmental and clinical psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area. Boy, that doesn't surprise me. She calls herself a feminist, and she supports a gender revolution in the country, in the world, whatever that is. Well, she has come up. Not only does she believe in, you know, that you can change your gender, she believes you can be a gender hybrid. A gender hybrid. So among the things that this space cadet subscribes to, it is that you can be a gender Prius, like a hybrid car,
uh-huh.
A gender Prius, half female and half male.
Oh my gosh!
You can have a different gender for spring or summer. Like in spring and summer, you can be male. Fall and winter, you can be female, or you can be. You can have a gender by where you are. Like you can be male at home and female when you're visiting grandma. And you can actually be a gender minotaur. Gender minotaur. One half human, one half something else. You know, minotaur has the body of a man and the head of a bull, in case you weren't familiar with that. So she says this nutcase, what's her name again? Diane Ehrensoft. She says, quote, "I totally agree we are in the midst of a gender revolution and the children are leading it. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And it's also humbling to know children know more than we do about this topic of being gender expansive." That's what she says. "A boy," I'm going on quoting this nutcase, "a boy twirled in my office and said to me, 'You see, I'm a Prius. I'm a boy in the front. I'm a girl in the back.'" All right. This is a woman who is with a PhD that thinks a seven-year-old has taught her about gender hybrids because he twirled in her office and made a comment that should have been corrected by a responsible adult. You know. So as much as you love to shake your head and laugh about it, you can't. She exists. She's destroying the minds of children and young adults that she comes into contact with. I mean, minotaurs and mermaids? How will these children ever handle the real world as adults? You know, you got to wonder, what is, and this woman is teaching our children? You know, you got to wonder. I just think about, do you think we could have won, if World War II was today, you think we could have won it today? I hate to speculate, but I just read recently, what was it, 9% or 11% or something of military eligible age kids are not eligible. I mean, excuse me, only the 9 to 12 whatever percent are the ones that are eligible. The rest of them are not eligible even in the relaxed standards of getting in the military because they're grossly overweight, because they have all of these psychological problems that nobody ever heard of a couple of generations ago, you know, or they think they're a different gender. You know, whatever it might be, they're not eligible for the military. So we've only got about 10% of the people who are eligible for the military that can qualify today. I mean, even with the military has lowered its standards as well. But isn't that remarkable for this country? And it is a fearful thing for this country. I know that. Well, here's some good news for you. Chaya Raichik, creator of the account of Libs of TikTok, has written a children's book. And I'm going to read to you what Donald Trump said about it. He tweeted it out. He said, "Chaya Raichik has received endless death threats and media attacks for her work in exposing sick people who are coming after our kids. She's now written a children's book that teaches children never to keep secrets from their parents and to be able to spot adults who may be predators. And Donald Trump says, such an important message. He says, please support Chaya and the work she's doing by getting a copy of her book and getting several copies and giving them to people. You can find it at lotbook.com. It's L-O-T-T book.com. It's her first children's book. It's for ages 4 to 8. It reveals the dangers of keeping secrets from your parents. So it's a conservative children's book. It's a twist to the familiar Grimm-style fairy tale, even including a big bad wolf. So again, you can get this book, protect your kids, buy a copy at lotbook.com, L-O-T-T book. So L-O-T-T-B-O-O-K.com. Or you can find it on Amazon. It's called, the title is called No More Secrets, The Candy Cavern. No More Secrets, The Candy Cavern. So that is something that I think we should support. I mean, there's precious little out there to protect our kids, and especially when you're sending them to, you don't know what. I mean, there was a proposal to put cameras in schools so parents could see what teachers were teaching. And boy, did the NEA, National Education Association, Teachers Union, come down hard on that. Oh, it's a violation of our rights and blah, 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 blah. What in the world is the argument against knowing what your children are being taught in school? I think there should be a camera in every classroom, and it should be on the internet so any parent can see what their children are being taught. Well, we mentioned Donald Trump, did we not, Allison? And, you know, there's been some stuff in the news about, they hate Donald Trump so much, the left does, they want him not to be on the ballot. And they're pushing for a way to keep him off the ballot so people can't vote for him. The New Hampshire Secretary of State has met with the New Hampshire Attorney General to discuss the 14th Amendment. Section 3 says public officials are not eligible to hold office if they, quote, engage in insurrection or rebellion against the United States. Well, that the 14th Amendment was put in the Civil War, so they didn't want Southern sympathizers, you know, people who engaged in the war, or Southern officials, Confederate officials, to hold office after the Civil War in the United States. So they put in the 14th Amendment. But the New Hampshire Secretary of State, he flirted with the idea of keeping Trump off the ballot based on that, even though he hasn't been convicted of anything. Well, now he's backed off on that because he found out he couldn't do that. Here's more on that story.
Aside from trying to throw Donald Trump in prison to prevent him from becoming president again, Democrats are also trying to have his name removed from the ballot in key swing states to deprive the American people of the opportunity, the right to vote for the leading candidate in the Republican Party. But the Democrats are the ones who are trying to protect our democracy, remember. Activists want to disqualify Trump from ballot in key states under the 14th Amendment.
Donald Trump is no longer eligible to the office of the presidency or any other state or federal office covered by the Constitution. One of the people who's been working on this issue, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, Noah Bookbinder, president and CEO of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, and he joins me now.
He's ethical and responsible, don't you know? It's in the name of his organization, as he works to undermine our democracy and deprive half the American voters of their right to pick the candidate that they want to be president. This from the Washington Compost. Trump team prepares to fight efforts to block him from ballots over January 6th. Attorneys from two nonprofits plan to argue that the U.S. Constitution bars Trump from office because he engaged in an insurrection during the mostly peaceful protest at the U.S. Capitol. I'm sorry, but insurrection and sedition are crimes on the books, neither of which Donald Trump has been charged with. This from just a few days ago. Trump can be removed from ballots. Conservative scholars, rhino scholars, say the 14th Amendment has disqualified him from election, and a trial isn't necessary. Yes, in America now, you're guilty until proven innocent. This from the Maryland Daily Record. Trump should be kept off the ballot. The Maryland State Board of Elections is obligated under the Constitution to refuse to list Donald Trump on the Republican presidential primary ballot. The same with the general election, should Trump be the unlawfully designated nominee of that party. Thankfully, legal scholars who haven't come down with Trump derangement syndrome all say that this tactic has little to no chance of succeeding. Shouldn't make me happy
through the years. You're listening to Bill and Allison Mancaro on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We're glad you're with us. Take a real quick break. When we come back, got a lot to talk about, but one is particularly, here are some of the worst slips of the tongue in history. That'll be right after this short break. Stay with us.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison.
I promised you some of the worst slips of the tongue in history. Actually, the slipperiest, I guess is the word for it, tongue on record, belonged to a man named William Spooner. He was dean of New College in Oxford in England. He committed so many verbal blunders that the word spoonerism entered the English language, which means the unintentional interchange of sounds of two or more words. For example, Spooner once explained that it is customary to cuss the bride. And he didn't do these things on purpose. It's just the way it came out. On another occasion, he remarked, "Work is the curse of the drinking class," which actually Oscar Wilde picked up and claimed as his own, but actually that was a spoonerism. He just did that. He once rebuked one of his students with, "You have hissed all my mystery lectures. I saw you fight a liar in the back quad. In fact, you have tasted the whole worm." Okay, what he was trying to say, "You have missed all my history lectures." Instead, he said, "You have hissed all my mystery lectures." Instead of saying, "I saw you light a fire in the back quad," he said, "I saw you fight a liar in the back quad." And instead of saying, "In fact, you have wasted the whole term," he said, "You have tasted the whole worm." It's just weird.
And this guy was a professor?
Yeah. He was dean of New College in Oxford.
Wow.
Yeah. But it got to be amusing. It got to be funny. One of the last ones that I, or the last one I have is, he referred to Queen Victoria, and this, people say this was his best one. He referred to the elderly Queen Victoria as, instead of the dear old queen, as the queer old dean. So, there you go. Reverend Spoonerisms, those are known as. Reverend William Spooner. Well, NASCAR is under fire for what it's called its diversity internship program. It's listing specific racial requirements for applicants to this diversity internship program. Okay. Under requirements, they must be a U.S. citizen or to be eligible to work in the U.S., must have at least reached their sophomore year in college. Those aren't the problems. Also, applicants, quote, must be a member of one or more of the following races or ethnic minority classifications: Black or African American, American Indian or Alaska Native, Asian, Latino or Hispanic, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander. Not listed is Caucasian or white or European. Now, these racial requirements are blatantly illegal. It's a violation of Title VII and the Civil Rights Act. An attorney, professor at George Mason's University Law School said having a 100% quota for minorities for a position is illegal under federal law. And this diversity internship is not the only program that NASCAR is excluding white applicants from. Excuse me. It has similar racism, basically. Let's call it what it is, for its pit crew. driver development program, supplier diversity program. The eligibility section of each of those lists the same racial minorities and excludes white people.
Wow. You're stupid. Really, really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you're stupid.
Hey, NASCAR. What's your base?
Really, really stupid.
I'd say white guys.
You think? You don't think it's Native Hawaiians or other Pacific Islanders or Alaskan Natives? Seriously? But that's what you're doing? You're excluding white people from your programs, NASCAR? What's going on? You know, follow the money. Follow the money. Soros or whoever came to him and said, how'd you like a, you know, big bag of money if you do all this crazy stuff? So they said, sure. They sure.
Well, on the subject of race, didn't you tell me that there is an organization, Blacks for Trump?
There is an organization called Blacks for Trump, and I'm glad you brought that up, Allison. because of Trump's indictment, and they're forcing him to do a mugshot and fingerprints and all that, he's getting a lot of support from the black community. Because a lot of blacks are saying, hey, this is the way we've been treated for years. Now he's a homie. He's one of us. They are. A lot of them are saying that. Mm-hmm. And I think, Allison, you put together a clip of some of the Blacks for Trump. These are just you know, they're not politicians. They're not professionals or, you know, activists or anything. This is just the general a sample of the general population of a lot of how blacks feel.
This indictment is causing black people to support Donald Trump more. They had a video of Trump going down to be indicted in Atlanta, and there was neighborhoods of black of African Americans cheering for Trump because they understand how they have been done by the system. They understand that they've been, their people have been attacked by the system for generations. So they see this attack on Trump and they relate to it, and it's causing most of them. All I saw on TikTok was people supporting Trump. And I think this indictment that this corrupt DA did is going to backfire. It's going to come have droves of people that support him that never would have supported him before.
The whole point is there are a lot of blacks going toward Trump, and the Democratic Party can't lose him. They can't lose their black base. If they get more than about a 20% defection, they're cooked. And that's the way it looks. Well, Denver... Denver is going to pay $4.7 million to Black Lives Matter rioters. Get that.
Wow.
Get that. You know, welcome to the modern American justice system where one side gets thrown in jail for questioning election, but the other side gets monetary rewards for staging violent riots. You know, during the BLM riots of George Floyd and all that, police in Denver rounded up about 300 protesters who violated the state's curfew order for COVID and who destroyed a lot of property and set fires and everything. They never faced any punishment. But now they're paying out $4.7 million to those arrested. Meanwhile, the other side of the aisle has to face the full brunt of the law. How about that? About that, Denver. That's why we don't live in Denver, don't pay taxes in Denver. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's take a little humorous break with the great
Buddy Brown.
What's going
on, y'all? I was on the Babylon Bee podcast, I guess a week or two ago, and they started reading out a list of woke country title songs that they had suggested for me. I laughed my sides off. Here's a quick clip.
We're going to pitch you some ideas for some woke country songs. You want to hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You can pitch back some lyric ideas. I got friends in privileged places. I don't know the second one it's referring to, but everybody liked it. Do you know
me? Me and Z. Oh, is that like the pronoun XZ?
Oh,
me and Z going vegan in the dark. I don't know what that's a reference.
All right, man. Man, I feel like a person who bleeds. That's the woman. I feel like a person who bleeds.
Yeah, Shania.
this is a good one.
Can I read that? All my exes change their sexes.
All These are all free for you, by the way.
Yeah, these are all free.
Oh, if you want to work on a collaboration video with us, we're shamelessly trying to get that to happen.
Oh, my exes changed their sexes. She used to be a her, and now she's a he. But all my exes changed their sexes. Thank God we broke up back in 03. Rosanna's down in San Francisco, LGBTQ. Sweet Eileen is now called Steve. She looks just like a dude. And Allison takes medicine, somehow lost her sanity. And Dimples, well, it ain't that simple. Fell in love with a drag queen. Oh, my exes changed their sexes. She used to be a her, and now she's a he. But all my exes changed their sexes. Thank God we broke up back in 03. Some folks think I'm far right, but I just don't prefer guys. Thank God we broke up back in 03. That'll never work in Nashville. Matter of fact, it just might. I'll be good.
Well, that's the great Buddy Brown. Boy, he's something. He's got over 1 million followers now on YouTube, by the way. Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah. So he's somebody to watch. He's very clever and somebody to pay attention to. Buddy Brown.
Okay. What do we have coming up after the break?
Well, after the break, got several things coming up. First of all, we're going to highlight some of the things going on this weekend. If you haven't heard them already, this is Labor Day weekend. And Allison, this is where we honor women who've been in labor all year. Is that what Labor Day weekend is?
Right. Yeah. Stop that, Bill.
Do you want me to sing my song again?
No.
A lot of people didn't hear it, I bet. Anyway, we're going to talk about some of the events going on in Hill Country that you should know about, that you'll enjoy over this Labor Day weekend. And if we have the time, we're going to talk about whether mask mandates are going to come back and why, at least on the Bill and Allison show, we believe they ain't going to work. They ain't going to work. That's our feeling about that. And do we have any bump music to go with my wonderful rhetoric here? I feel like I'm at sea. Oh, yeah. Those are the Jive Aces. Great band. So we are Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We're going to be right back. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison.
Hill Country Patriot, your information station, as I think you've heard once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you miss any of our shows, you can listen to them online, firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Nordstrom is pulling out of San Francisco. That's pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there 35 years, and they're pulling out. As are a lot of stores. I saw a guy took a video. He walked down Market Street in San Francisco. And if you don't know Market Street, it's a major shopping thoroughfare in San Francisco. And he took this video, which you can think it's on YouTube or something. And he just walked about six blocks showing the storefronts. I believe he found maybe in six blocks, three or four stores in business. The rest were all closed up. And these are major, major store brands that were closed up. Mm-hmm. That were once there, and they're gone now. Because of
tired of the looting.
Because of the looting and the homeless people on the streets. Because it's due to left-wing policies run by these San Francisco and other places run by Democrats, the once beautiful city by the bay is in a death spiral. So Nordstrom's is leaving, and this is not just any little Nordstrom's. 312 square feet, five stories. It was an anchor store in the Westfield Shopping Mall, and now they're gone. So it's office vacancies in San Francisco have reached a 30-year high now. 30-year high. Well, you lock down your city for no scientific reason. You refuse to punish criminals. You demoralize the police into inaction. You decriminalize shoplifting. You don't arrest anybody who steals anything priced under basically $1,000. How is that going to turn out for you? These are fixable problems. Back in the 1990s, we had urban decay. Back in the 60s and 70s, we had urban decay. And then we had new Democrats come along, like Bill Clinton, who said Democrats have to be tough on crime, and everything changed. In New York City, people voted for Rudy Giuliani, a Republican mayor, who cleaned up the city, turned it into a beautiful place to be. And after a decade of Democrat rule, less than a decade now, it's a dump again. So you don't need Charles Bronson patrolling in the streets. You need zero tolerance policies for crime, vagrancy, trespassing, squatting. That's all. That's all it takes. But Democrats refuse to do this. Now, why in the world would they refuse to do it? Because they want to chase all the decent people out of their cities, out of their states, because that will forever cement their hold on power. So they live like kings while the morons who vote for them live like serfs. It's all a choice. It's all a choice made by the citizens of these doomed cities who choose to vote for Democrats. They're getting what they paid for. Nobody should pity them. A lot of that comes from John Nolte, by the way. I didn't write it all. I wrote some of it, but didn't write it all. Well, don't forget a few items this weekend. The Doss Volunteer Fire Department's Fish Fry fundraiser is taking place today at 4:30 at the Doss Fire Station on Ranch Road 783 outside of Fredericksburg. It's by donation. Go out there and support the Doss Volunteer Fire Department. Bandera Roundup is big doings in Bandera today and tomorrow. Courthouse Lawn, Mansfield Park Rodeo. Rodeo starts at 8 o'clock both nights. Tomorrow night is Women's Ranch Radio and Kids Mutton Bustin'. Professional Rodeo again this evening. The Junction Labor Day Weekend Cow Kick is in the Junction City Park today. Annual Arts, Crafts, Music Labor Day Celebration. A live music, fun recreational activities. Annual barbecue cook-off. It's a sanctioned state championship. And so people are going to get out there. Men and women will prove who has the best barbecue. And a kids' cook-off as well. So, and farmers markets today in Kerrville River Hills Mall, parking lot, Comfort City Park, Johnson City at the Johnson City Coffee Company and Junction of the Courthouse Lawn. Boy, time flies like an arrow, Allison. And fruit flies like a banana. You know that. We are Bill and Allison Mancaro. We're here every Saturday morning from 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. And also at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. So we love to be with you. Allison, why don't you say goodbye?
Goodbye. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being the engineer, Allison. And remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.